Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, ESB crews are still working to restore power across Donegal this evening as Storm Ali leaves its mark. A senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital predicts that the bed crisis will get worse rather than better as winter approaches. A 28-year-old man has been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of dairyman Paul McCauley. And farmers in the northwest remain in limbo as Britain's exit from the EU fast approaches. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first to news, hundreds of ESB customers are still without power across Donegal this evening. The damage was mainly caused by fallen trees on overhead lines. ESB crews are moving into affected areas when it's safe to do so to restore power as quickly as possible. However, those affected could be without power for up to 3 days. Operations manager with the ESB is Derek Hines.
What we're looking at the minute are about 2,000 locations around the country where we know that there are damage to our network, and we're going to have to visit those sites over the next couple of days. We know from previous events that today is primarily about making sure that any of those lines that are close to the ground or are actually on the ground are disconnected and made safe.
Storm Ali has also caused widespread disruption on the roads today. Motorists are being advised to drive with extra care, with fallen trees reported in many areas. Conor Fohan from the AA Ireland has this advice.
It almost gets more dangerous as it appears to get safer. More motorists will come out onto the road, and there is still wind-blown debris everywhere. Fallen trees, as we said. But even something as innocent as a wheelie bin out in the middle of the road, that is a desperately dangerous hazard if you come round a secondary road bend too quickly.
A list of all local outages and road closures is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, services in more than 60 post offices across the country have been affected due to Storm Ali. Heavy winds have disrupted many deliveries in the north and northwest, and POS says they are working to restore full services as soon as possible. And the storm has claimed a second life. A man in his 20s has been killed after he was hit by a falling tree near Slievegullion Forest Park in South Armagh at around lunchtime. Another man who's in his 40s is in a serious condition at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. This morning, a woman in her 50s died after the caravan she was in was blown off a cliff in Galway. A 28-year-old man has been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of dairyman Paul McCauley. Piper John McClements, known previously as Darrell Proctor from the Fountain area of Derry, pleaded guilty on the first day of his trial at Belfast High Court. Trish Lafferty reports.
Paul McCauley was left in a vegetative state after being beaten by up to 15 people in a sectarian attack at Chapel Road in the Waterside in 2006. He never regained consciousness and died in June 2015, aged 38. BBC News is reporting that Piper John McClements, previously known as Darrell Proctor, aged 28, from the Fountain area of Derry, pleaded guilty to the murder of Mr. McCauley on the first day of his trial at Belfast High Court today. He was sentenced to life in prison and put his head down low onto his hands in the dock before he was led away. The trial of Matthew Gillen, who was also charged with the murder of Mr. McCauley, is due to start tomorrow.
A senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital says the bed crisis at the hospital is now so serious that consultants are surprised when their operating lists are not cancelled. Orthopaedic surgeon Peter O'Rourke today predicted that the situation will get worse rather than better with the winter approaching. Mr. O'Rourke was speaking on today's 9 till noon show.
The only reason I'm here this morning is because I'm not in the operating theatre doing 3 hip and 2 knee replacements which are cancelled. We're used to this happening in January and February, but not in August and September, because we've had numerous cancellations and the hospital, I think, has been in escalation virtually the entire year.
What you're saying is effectively we're in crisis now and it is going to get worse.
There's two aspects to it. One is the so-called emergency department crisis, which I must admit irritates me, because it isn't an emergency department crisis, it's a crisis of beds. And the problem is the only thing then can give if you have a crisis of beds is planned elective surgery, which is what has happened. And that's why waiting lists are rising. People are concerned about the number number of people on waiting list, and the only way the government seemed to be able to manage that is by sending them to private hospitals under the NTPF, which is not a solution. It is a band-aid on a large cut that they need to do something about. And the difficulty is, with these cancellations, all these patients are being pushed further along the waiting list, and it's not getting any better. The patients who are cancelled on my list today have been cancelled between 2 and 3 times already. This is the conversation I used to have in January and February, not in September. And I've no doubt when I go in tomorrow morning, I'll have a few letters or phone calls from politicians sort of asking why their patients are being cancelled, etc. And it's because the hospital does not have sufficient beds for the number of people in the county.
Minister John Halligan has committed to investigate the school transport issue in Donegal, which has left students in many areas without transport as their applications for concessionary tickets were unsuccessful. At a meeting today, Donegal TDs and senators told the minister that 2/3 of those travelling to Milford from Termon and Kilmacrenan who were denied a school bus pass are in fact eligible. The minister has now requested a report on school transport arrangements for Milford schools. Deputy Pat the Gope Gallagher says the meeting was a positive step in resolving the issue.
Some progress has been made. We haven't a solution as yet, but we made a very strong case in respect of the children from Termon and Kilmacrenan attending both schools in Milford. And I have established that of the 33 children involved, that 2/3 of those are eligible. So therefore, the department and the minister has a responsibility to provide transport for those eligible children, even though some of them may have been late applying, there may have been administrative errors, there may have been delays for reasons better known to them. However, we are where we are, and we made the case that the 2/3 should be facilitated, and that if they decide to put on a bus for 30 children or the 33-seater, then they could provide seats at a concessionary rate for the other children. Now, I told the minister not to take my word. He will have his own way of establishing what the various TDs and senators told him. He's going to do that, and we would hope that he will meet with us again next week when he has a report back.
There has been a discussion on this at a number of levels in a number of communities, and there have been calls across the board for the whole protocols to be reassessed and the arrangements to be looked at again. Was there any indication from Minister Halligan that he's willing to do so?
Well, I think that they will have to look at the overall scheme, but we're anxious to resolve this now, and after that he can look at the overall.
Donald Tusk says that the UK's latest Brexit proposals on the Irish border and economic cooperation need to be revoked. The European Council President did add that today's talks in Austria showed there's more hope but less time. He's also confirmed that there'll be a special EU summit in mid-November to try finalise a deal with the UK. But he said time is running out.
On other issues, such as the Irish question, the UK's proposals will need to be reworked and further negotiated. Today there's perhaps more hope, but there's surely less and less time. Therefore, every day that is left, we must use for talks.
Meanwhile, farmers remain left in limbo as Britain's exit from the EU fast approaches. Westron MLA Daniel McCrossan says the agricultural sector faces a period of unprecedented disruption and uncertainty. Mr. McCrossan says unless Stormont gets up and running again, an unmitigated Brexit will be felt across farms for generations.
It's very clear that farmers in particular, our agriculture sector is going to be affected more so than anywhere else and more so than anywhere in the United Kingdom. There's many farmers out there that are asking what is going to happen in the aftermath of Brexit, particularly in the face of a no-deal Brexit. What will happen in relation to CAP? What will happen in relation to funding that has supported farms here for a long number of years? No one seems to be able to give any answers to those very serious concerns.
And indeed, it is the Northern Ireland government that needs to make the case, and unfortunately it's not up and running at the minute.
Absolutely, and there's a very clear dependency here economically on our agri-sector. Agri-foods is very, very successful here. We produce some fantastic products and food for across the entirety of the United Kingdom and indeed the wider world, and there's a big concern out there as to what will happen in the aftermath of Brexit. It's different in England in that farms in England are huge, huge farms, big business farms. They're not small rural family farms like we have here and have benefited from here for a long number of years. The difficulty with the government here is that there's no one here to mitigate against what will be a very harsh impact on family farms. We already know very clearly that in border communities such as Strabane and further afield, that they're going to be worse off than anywhere else in terms of the impact of Brexit because of the uncertainty about a hard border and on business. But what about those farms there? There's major, major questions, and I can rightly understand the concerns of those farmers. And it's high time that the British government realised that we rely heavily on our agri-food sector here, on small family farms, and that any uncertainty could be detrimental to their progression.
Doctors might not be ready to carry out abortions here by January. The government wants women to be able to access terminations by the new year, but clinicians say there's still lots of work to be done. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The Eighth Amendment has been repealed, but the laws allowing abortions haven't yet been passed. That's expected to happen before Christmas, but doctors may not be ready to carry out terminations by then. Dr. Mary Favier from the ICGP says that doctors still have lots of questions.
There are concerns about capacity and resourcing issues such as staffing, facility, training. They are concerned about the potential lack of appropriate specialist support, the possibility of medical complications for their patients.
While Dr. Peter Boylan from the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says there's only one hospital with an MRI machine at the moment, they can be critical in the diagnosis of fatal fetal abnormality.
When MRI is used further to initial ultrasound, additional information is provided in 50% of cases. The diagnosis has changed in 35% of cases, and prognosis has changed in 20% of cases.
All the speakers at the Oireachtas Health Committee today acknowledge that there would need to be lots done if doctors are to be ready to carry out abortions early in the new year. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal Club Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 13 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with Hush and Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer, and holders Cork City will discover their FAI Cup semi-final opponents tonight. Derry play host to Bohemians in their rearranged quarter-final. Bows have won each of the last seven games in all competitions, including a 2-0 win over the Candy Stripes at the Brandywell last month. Tonight's winners will be at home to Cork on Sunday week with the kickoff at 7:45. Derry, of course, go into the game boosted by their EA Sports Cup victory at the weekend. Here's the Candy Stripes boss, Kenny Shields.
We have to come out with all guns blazing and all the old cliches. We've got to work hard for each other. We've got to be tight. We've got to be spread. We've got to do everything that's going to help us win the game, and hopefully we can get it right tactically. Yeah, they'll be full of confidence and they've got good players to boot. You know, if you look through every area of the team, they're strong. We'll be doing our best to stay inside the game and get into the last quarter of the match. If we can be inside the game, we've got a chance.
That game is going ahead tonight at the Brandywell. Kickoff time is 7:45. Finn Harps play their final game of the regular First Division campaign this coming Saturday night against Cabinteely at Finn Park. Having been relegated last season, Harps have bounced back and go into the promotion playoffs with a second place finish secured. A victory on Saturday would extend Harps' unbeaten league run to 10 games. Secretary John Campbell says it's important to keep momentum around the club going with big games to come.
We mustn't forget last year we went down, we lost 8 of that team. It was a complete rebuild and these players have done magnificently, especially since the break. So I think it's, you know, it'd be great if people came out in numbers for the last game for that, because, and show their support for the players and the management. But also, not alone just that, you know, I think we need to keep a momentum going into the playoffs. Like I said, we're playing here on Saturday night at 7:45. There's no other match then. We're not at home again until the 19th of October. So I think, you know, we need to use Saturday night to build up a momentum to see us into those games, which will be the first leg away on the 12th and the second leg at home on the 19th of October.
Harps Secretary John Campbell. On to some international football. And in the Regions Cup, Ireland today drew with Slovakia 1-1. Coghill Celtics, Peter Doherty, started the game for Ireland. But with the share of the points today and defeat last weekend in their opening match, it means Ireland can't qualify for the finals. Jimmy Bradley of Coghill was also in the squad today but was an unused substitute. Ireland still have one game to play this coming Saturday against an English side. Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho says he's not going to use Young Boys' artificial pitch as an excuse in their opening Champions League game tonight. They're in Switzerland for their first group pitch fixture. The match in Bern kicks off at 8 o'clock. Mourinho wants the focus to be on those on the pitch.
We can only start with 11. You could try to speak about the ones that are going to play and not the ones that are not going to play. We have Lukaku, Rashford, Mata, Alexis, Martial. They can not play all together.
At the same time in Group H, Cristiano Ronaldo plays his first Champions League game for Juventus away to Valencia. Manchester City's Group F campaign begins with the visit of Lyon to the Etihad, while Shakhtar Donetsk take on group debutants Hoppenheim at 5-6. Elsewhere tonight, holders Real Madrid begin the defence with a visit of Roma to the Bernabeu, and in Group E, Bayern Munich travel to Benfica. In Gaelic games, the deadline for nominations for the vacant Mayo football manager's job has passed. It's believed former Mayo boss James Horan has received the backing of at least one club to succeed Stephen Rochford. Horan's home club of Ballintubber have nominated him to take back up the role he left in 2014. Under 21 boss Michael Sloan and former All-Ireland winning manager Enda Gilvary are also said to be in the running for the job. The deadline of nominations was 1 o'clock today. In motorsport, Chris Meek could be back in the World Rally Championship in 2019 with Toyota. Team principal Tommy Mackinnon says he has held discussions with the County Tyrone driver, who is seen as an option to replace Esa-Pekka Lappi. The Finnish driver is understood to be on the verge of joining Meek's former team Citroën. The French manufacturer dropped Meek after his crash in Portugal in May. On the badminton front, Chloe and Sam McGee made their exit from the China Open this week. The Rafoe pair lost their first round mixed doubles game to the 8th seeds, Chris and Gabriel Adcock from England. The McGees won the opening set 21-17, but lost the next two 21-8, 21-8. And finally, the IOC's Athletics Commission has backed moves to reinstate the Russian Anti-Doping Agency into world sport. The World Anti-Doping Agency is expected to lift the 3-year ban on Russia that was imposed following the publication of the McLaren report. WADA's Compliance Review Committee last week claimed it had received assurances from the Russian sports minister that the country had sufficiently acknowledged its failures. Yesterday, Sport Ireland were among 13 countries opposing the reinstatement of the Russian anti-doping agency into world sport. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment here on Highland. Tom Comack will have the GA programme later on tonight here in Highland. Usual throw-in time at 8:30. And I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a public meeting is taking place tonight after it emerged last week that the Slieveley Distillery is to relocate to Ardraw. A community spokesperson said the people of the area are devastated at the news as 40 jobs were to be created. The meeting is getting underway at 8 o'clock in the old school in Carrick. Managing director of the Slieveley Distillery, James Doherty, was speaking on today's 9 till noon show. He says while the possibility of reversing the decision to relocate to Ardraw is highly unlikely, he hopes something positive will come from tonight's meeting.
The opportunity is still there. It's just a matter of now, how do we engage with, as a community, with the bodies and committees that represent us and ensure that there's an ambition for the area that reflects what people want, I think.
So the purpose of the meeting tonight, first and foremost, is to discuss the future development of Carrick. Slieveley Distillery may have a role to play in that future development and promoting that development and facilitating that development. But as far as reversing the decision to move to Ardraw, as far as you're concerned, that ship has sailed. There is no going back on that decision.
Unfortunately, I think the ship has sailed because the land dispute will end up in court. We can't see that it won't get appealed by either side, and that's 2 years away. And we need, for our investors and for our own peace of mind, to have certainty about how we can go forward. I'm not organising the meeting this evening, so I'm not sure what the full agenda is or how it's going to be structured. But my hope for all of this is that it becomes a positive discussion about how we take this community forward and the ambition for the area. And if Slieveley Distillery is part of that, then that's fantastic.
Emergency services are currently at the scene of a crash on the Killigordon to Stranorla Road. The two-car collision happened this afternoon and there are no reports of any serious injuries. Gardaí say the road remains open, but they are advising motorists to expect delays. Meanwhile, police in Strabane have reissued an appeal for information after a report of a hit-and-run road traffic collision on the Liskey Road. The incident happened on Sunday, September the 9th. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a statement, police say that sometime between 1pm and 3pm, a dark-coloured car collided with a vehicle parked on the Liskey Road close to the Gravenew pool area. It was driving at speed. It's believed the offending vehicle's wing mirror struck the back of a man who was packing up his car in the area. His injuries aren't believed to be serious, but he was left badly shaken. The vehicle is then believed to have made off toward Victoria Bridge. It's believed as a result of the incident, the offending vehicle's passenger side wing mirror was completely destroyed. Police are urging anyone with any information who knows of a dark coloured vehicle with a missing passenger side wing mirror or who witnessed the incident or captured anything on their dash cam to contact them in Strabane.
And finally, news, the government has been heavily criticised over the proposed closures of post offices around the country. Almost 160 post offices have been threatened with closure nationwide after a deal was made between AmPost and the Irish Postmasters Union. Sinn Féin has tabled a motion which aims to save rural post offices. The party says 732 post offices have been closed already under the Fianna Fáil government from 2000 to 2011. Speaking in the Dáil last night, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty outlined how that affects Donegal.
The people of rural Ireland will not stand for it because they are on their feet, they are attending the meetings and they're making their voices clear that they will not stand for another cut of services that they have in their local community. 159 post offices to be closed was the announcement that we heard. But we know that the post office and the services that it provides has long stood as a symbol of rural Ireland. The services that it provides have been the fabric of almost every aspect of community life, both economically and socially, for many years. But we also know that that fabric, that that institution has been under sustained attack since the noughties. As Mary Lou said, under the Fianna Fáil government, 732 post offices closed down over a period of 11 years. Under that government, they closed down or they overseen the closure of a post office on average every single week. And it visited my parish, communities like Crawley, communities like Eudora Station, places where people wanted to keep their post offices and postmasters wanted to go in and make sure that there was a service there. And it was closed down. And then yous come in and in Eudora yous close the next post office, Dunluce. And all during that time, you were trying to sell a pub to the public and saying, well, sure, you can go to the next post office, the Bunbeg post office, or the nearest one to you. But now, Minister, you plan to close those post offices too. Last night, I attended a meeting in Gortha Harcourt, a population of 3,500 people, where we will not be left with a single post office.
And for weather now, remaining fresh and blustery this evening, especially in coastal areas with outbreaks of heavy showery rain and some sunny spells and highest temperatures of 13 to 16 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, hundreds of ESB customers are still without power across Donegal this evening. ESB crews are moving into affected areas when it's safe to do so to restore power as quickly as possible. However, those affected could be without power for up to 3 days. Motorists are being advised to drive with extra care, with fallen trees reported in many areas. A 28-year-old man has been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of dairyman Paul McCauley. Piper John McClements, known previously as Darrell Proctor from the Fountain area of Derry, pleaded guilty on the first day of his trial at Belfast High Court. A senior consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital says the bed crisis at the hospital is now so serious that consultants are surprised when their operating lists are not cancelled. Orthopaedic surgeon Peter O'Rourke today predicted that the situation will get worse rather than better with the winter approaching. And farmers in the northwest remain left in limbo as Britain's exit from the EU fast approaches. Westron MLA Daniel McCrossan says the agricultural sector faces a period of unprecedented disruption and uncertainty. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, September the 19th.
The death has occurred of Thomas Conaghan. Crickenmore, Dunloe. Remains are reposing at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Kincashla. Interment afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. Rosary both lies at 9 o'clock. Family time from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Dunloe Hospital Patient Comfort Fund. Care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral directors. The death has taken place of Mary Love, née Kelly, 36, Drumrallis, Strabane, and formerly of Tamna Wood, Ballindrate. Remains are reposing at her home tomorrow from 12 noon. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place in Enniscorthy of Emmett Coyle, formerly of 154 Disnafin Park, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his mother Margaret Coyle's home, 154 Disnafin Park, Strabane, tomorrow night from 8 o'clock. Funeral leaving his mother's home on Friday morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Shirley Harding, Old Golf Course Road, Donegal Town. Remains are reposing at the Donegal Community Hospital Chapel tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Removal from Donegal Community Hospital on Friday morning at 9:45. Going to the Donegal Methodist Church for funeral service at 10:45. Followed by service and cremation at the Lakelands Crematorium Cavan at 3 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Donegal Town Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of George Irwin, funeral directors. The death has taken place of Anna McGrinder, née Noon, 6, Springhill Park, Strabane, and formerly of Fermelton. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley, funeral directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Sheila McDade, née Montague, 7, Melmount Park, Strabane. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, Kev Quigley, funeral directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Agnes Geary, Sleeve Snagged Close, Letterkenny, née McGrawley, Doe, Creaslaw. Remains are reposing overnight at St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations are new to Archview Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, care of Pascal Blake, funeral directors.